There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, welcome back to a Monday night edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. Evan Sowards of 49ers Hub is here. It's been a few months. Evan, good evening. How are you doing post? What do we call this game? How would you coin the 49ers Ravens just rain filled swamp infested bath game? I don't know what to call it.
You know, it was exactly what you would expect with two incredibly good teams playing each other. And you know, as a guy that was really excited to watch it, obviously I wasn't excited for the outcome, but I was very excited to see a team who's going to be going into the playoffs soon, and they're going to be playing some pretty big games, and this was a big game. And, you know, losing by a field goal at the last second against what I think is the best team in the NFL was, you know, it's better than any other type of loss. I think it's the best type of loss you can have. And so here we are.
So the Niners have lost two games this year, and it's kind of unfair what's going on with them. And a lot of it depends on what happens tonight. And as we're recording, the Vikings and the Seahawks are playing on Monday Night Football. But they have two losses, and they've lost those two games by a combined 6 points. We all remember the Seahawks thriller that went to overtime at home. That was a tough loss that could have gone either way, and then this game could have gone either way. Is it frustrating for you that this team is 6 points away from being undefeated? And then again, you're like, well, it could be worse. It could be the Chargers, who have like nine losses of a combined 4 points. That's not mathematically impossible, but that's actually what it feels like for them.
Well, yeah, especially last night when they were down three. And then they, you know, they actually get up and, or, you know, they kick the field goal and you're like, oh my gosh, they might actually not do the Chargers thing. And then they did the Chargers thing. But no, for me as a 49ers fan, I think the big problem here is a lot of people are comparing it to what's going on in Seattle. Seattle's having an amazing season and both teams are really just pushing for that first round bye. I think if you were to take that out of the equation and look at it from a very clear lens, I'm very happy as a fan, as a guy who likes to think that he pays a lot of attention to the NFL and football, all the above. Everything is going great this year. I think the two losses are against two of the best teams in the NFL to only lose by 3 points. You know, like I kind of said right away, I was looking towards, you know, I'm looking towards the playoffs, whether it's as a fifth seed going in and going into Dallas and playing them or the first round bye, my focus is on the playoffs. And when you play good teams and you barely lose and you're destroying the other teams, you know, it's a good thing. I think a lot of the things that I looked at the parallels between the Washington Redskins game, which was also an absolute swamp, right? And that was 9-0. You know, Garoppolo had 151 yards. Leading receiver had 69 yards, Kendrick Bourne, because he had like a 42-yard run or something like that. Nice. Basically, no one moved the ball, right? Like, nothing happened. So that was kind of my first thing when I was watching this game. I was like, okay, what happens in these type of conditions? If you saw the game, obviously, 4th and 2, they go for it. They throw like a 20-plus yard touchdown. You know, when I see that, I'm going, okay, they're throwing touchdowns in this weather against the best defense in the NFL. That's a good way to start the game. That never happened once the entire Washington Redskins game. So that was a plus. Seeing the defense really just, you know, obviously it's impossible. Lamar Jackson is unguardable. But from a passing perspective, they shut him down. The problem is that he doesn't just pass the ball, right? He ran for 100 and some odd yards and really beat the team pretty bad there. But, you know, God, it was not that bad, all things considered. What did you think? I would love to hear your non-biased opinion.
It was not bad. They were in it the majority of that game. I came away just, like, extremely impressed with the 49ers defense. Like, it's interesting about, like, when you think about teams like the Pats, and now they've moved back in as the number one team in defensive DVOA. The 49ers are at 2. I like this stat, and if you watch the games, watch that particular game, it makes sense in that the 49ers only allowed one long touchdown drive for Lamar. Like, everybody struggled containing Lamar in recent weeks, even the Pats, who obviously got shredded by Lamar Jackson. Obviously conditions may have played a part, but like, they have one good drive. Like, one of their other touchdowns was a quick score, and then you had this one long drive. That was it. Like, I think that really matters that they were able to shut Lamar. It was a lot of punts, a lot of TDs. Like, I go through the drive chart for Baltimore. It's not impressive. Like, it was a slog, and the 49ers defense played really well. Fred Warner is a monster. I came away just being like, okay, that dude's a guy. They're stacked everywhere on defense. We're like, the offense is going to be fine. I'm not worried about Kyle Shanahan and that offense. I'm more intrigued by, just because of how the NFC is just so stacked from top to bottom, they're the most complete all-around team to me. But I am someone, like, what I thought was interesting is that you're not as concerned about getting a 5 seed if the Seahawks end up surviving tonight and getting the number 2 seed. Probably, if you look at the Saints schedule, they're pretty much locked and loaded for that number 1 seed. I think they need it just because there are just so many teams. Like, we go year over year. If you're a number 1 or number 2 seed, you have a very, 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 very good shot of making the Super Bowl. And if you're not, it's very hard to win multiple road games in a row, especially in the NFC. I would be very concerned if I was a 5 or 6 seed. I don't know. I think home field advantage matters a lot, but I also came away like, oh, Richard Sherman, like, you deep dive on what he's been doing this year. It's like, oh my God, Richard Sherman's actually been a monster, and he's averaging just 0.5 receiving yards per snap in coverage. It's the lowest of any qualifying cornerback this season. It's also the lowest of his career. Top 5 coverage grade per PFF. Like, I just, across the board, that was my biggest takeaway. It's like, this defense can shut down the MVP favorite on the road in awful conditions, and they just don't break. They're stout all over the place.
One of the things, too, to your point, a lot of people probably don't pay attention to if you're not a big 49ers fan like I am. Jaquaski Tartt got injured halfway through the game, and Marcel Harris, who was the backup, came in and played. Marcel Harris never ran the 40-yard at the combine. He had no measurable, but he runs about a 4.37 or a 4.4, right in that range. He's a fast guy. And when he came in, you know, obviously we had second half adjustments and things like that. But when he came in, that was really when you started to see Lamar slow down. I think having Marcel being an incredibly fast safety really started to, like, you know, slow things down. Obviously, everything kind of, like, the game got slow. Pass rush never really, you know, No big sacks or anything like that. It's hard to sack him in general. But I thought that was kind of an interesting thing, is when the faster safety came in, things kind of slowed down a little bit. So it's hard. You know, hopefully we play him again in the Super Bowl and you can kind of get a better idea, because there's so many different intangibles. But it was an interesting thing. All in all, though, here's the thing I keep looking back to. This defense is going to be able to play anyone. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where it is, or how, under what circumstances. They can play anyone. The pass rush is obviously the best pass rush in the NFL. The safeties and corners are playing amazing. I think personally, I don't know if you were a part of that off-season discussion, you know, pass rush versus coverage, what's more important. I think the 49ers are your glowing example. Pass rush is the most important. I don't care what the numbers say. You know, you have guys that, you know, actively just were so not good last year. You look at Akella Witherspoon, you look at Jaquiski Tartt, Jimmy Ward. These are guys that have never really kind of been able to do, you know, Jaquiski Tartt taken in the second round, Jimmy Ward taken in the first round with like the number 11 pick. These are guys that never really made it. And then you add Dee Ford, you add Nick Bosa, and all of a sudden, you know, like you talk about Richard Sherman, it's an interesting thing. Is Richard Sherman the old Richard Sherman? Probably there's a lot of it is that. He's probably just, you know, still a very damn good corner. But is Richard Sherman also playing on a team where the quarterback has to get the ball away immediately? And even when he is throwing the ball, he's probably making some pretty last second choices and decisions. And he's probably flustered because there are two giant men trying to kill him on the ends. You know, those are things to kind of that I look at. But yeah, I think the defense can play anyone, and no one wants to talk about it probably other than me, but Jimmy Garoppolo is consistently one of the best quarterbacks every single Sunday. I mean, you know, he's had some boneheaded moves. I don't really blame that fumble on him. It's pouring rain. You know, the offensive line has really been letting guys kind of get closer to him than I'd like, even though they are playing well. But, you know, he fumbles the ball when it's soaking wet. I don't know how much I'll put the blame on him on that. But other than that, that 4th-and-2 touchdown, some of the plays that he was making, I don't know if you saw, but there was a play where essentially he was about to get sacked and he pitched the ball off. Like, just the mental aptitude to make that last second decision, just like split second choices. He's having an amazing year. And there are teams whose defenses have taken them to the Super Bowl, who have had significantly worse quarterback play than what the 49ers have right now with Jimmy Garoppolo. So, yeah, you know, it's the Ravens won by 3, but like, I'm looking forward to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think people overreacted to the Ravens win and underreacted to what the 49ers did. Is that fair?
100%. And like, I think this is the main thing that we should talk about and why I didn't want to open with it. It's really hard for me to make this decision. There's the 4th-and-1 play that's now kind of been talked about a lot between the 49ers, where they opted to pass the ball. It was batted down. George Kittle seemed to be open, but the ball got batted down, right? And they ended up turning the ball over. They had scored on the touchdown earlier. My thing is this. Raheem Mostert, one of our special teams gurus, right, played very well. This guy is really, every time he's come in, he has been a great running back for Shanahan. Shanahan's notorious. Steve Slayton, Arian Foster, right? Like all of these different.
Matt Breida.
Right. Matt Breida is one of ours, but like, throughout the years, if you're undrafted and you play for Kyle Shanahan, you're going to look like an all-pro running back. That's just the rules. Mm-hmm. But so Mostert comes in and he's averaging 7.4 yards a carry, just literally killing it. I mean, you got to remember, Tevin Coleman is only like a few weeks away from when he scored 4 touchdowns. And they're basically not letting him touch the ball because Raheem's on fire. So they don't give him the ball on 4th-and-1, which I think a 4th-and-1 and a 4th-and-2 are two very different things. But they don't give it to him. You know, essentially, they would have been able to run the clock out, kick the field goal, game over, is in my opinion. And they didn't do that. So I think I'm glad that that happened during the regular season, because I do think it's a very opposite reaction to the Falcons, where they needed to be conservative and they weren't conservative and they lost that Super Bowl against the Patriots. Everyone knows.
We don't have to talk about that.
Right, I understand. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the dynamic there and the duality is very different. Shanahan lost a game by being too aggressive. This game, you could argue, might have been lost because he was too conservative.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to look at it, however you want to position it, I think my point is I'm really glad that these teams are learning these lessons now rather than in the playoffs in a couple weeks when it really fucking matters. And that's what I'm excited about because, you know, I don't think there's going to be any swamp games for the rest. You know, Arizona plays in a dome or in San Francisco. It's nice there. It's, New Orleans is a dome. Seattle, you know, we're going up there, so it might rain that there.
It's
going
to decide the division by all accounts. If you look at the playoff picture and who the Niners and the Seahawks have on the docket, like that game is going to decide who gets home field advantage. And a first round bye, really.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I don't want to just keep talking forever and ever. This is your podcast. But the one thing that I think is really interesting is for anybody that watched the 49ers and Seahawks play originally, the first 10 points, the 49ers were destroying the Seahawks. It wasn't close. It literally felt like two different, wholly different you know, level of field play was going on. The 49ers were moving the ball down, just after getting Emmanuel Sanders. Obviously, the defense was playing lights out. Emmanuel Sanders gets hurt. You're already out, George Kittle. The offense immediately slowed down. So I'm a homer. I'm obviously biased. But I really do truly believe that if the 49ers play Seattle and it's not pouring rain and it's an even field play and everybody's healthy, I think the Niners win by 10 points. I don't think it's going to be close. Everyone sees how well they've been playing, but like I saw that first quarter, you know, it wasn't close. Then they lost their most dynamic receiver. And no head nor George Kittle, and it really kind of went downhill from there. And in the end, the Seahawks won in overtime. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about the Seahawks. Like, my hottest take is still that the Seahawks are, like, the biggest frauds in the NFC. And we'll 100%. See what happens tonight with the Vikings. But I love Russell Wilson. I think people forget too much about what happened in the Cowboys playoff game last year. I always go back to my notes on that game because I'm just a psycho and take notes on every game that I watch from start to finish. And it's just, it was so conservative. And I had Pro Football Focus Austin Gale on a couple weeks ago. And we were just talking about like what he sees with Brian Schottenheimer this year versus last year, because he did not let Russell Wilson do Russell Wilson stuff last year in the playoffs. And they lost the Cowboys game because of it. Like, he kept them in the box. And guess what? They lost. I think that's still very much in play, especially if they don't get a first round bye and they get like, I guess it's probably gonna be the Cowboys again, honestly.
Cowboys or Eagles.
Yeah, that's probably gonna be the 4 or 5 matchup. So we might get a rematch in that capacity. But I'm not convinced. Like, their defense is still like, I think, middle of the road. They're not. I don't trust this offense come playoff time to score enough. I'm not a believer in like. In the Schottenheimer stuff. I'm a believer in the Niners. I'm a believer in the Saints. I still think the Saints are winning the NFC this year. We'll have to see what happens, but
Saints aren't winning the NFC, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
They are winning the NFC.
No, they're not. Did you not watch them play yesterday? Mm-hmm.
They're fine.
No, they're not. They are not fine. They're not fine. The Saints are not nearly as good as
the Saints. If they get home field advantage throughout, make the case.
Let me put it this way. I think the Saints are a good example of a better version of the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks, straight up, at the end of the day, Russell Wilson can win any game. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in the last 30 years. He's that good, and he does that much for that team. I think every year the Seahawks, if they were to lose Russell Wilson, probably don't win 6 games. That's how much I believe in Russell Wilson, as much as I am going to have to throw up after this podcast for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Saints are in a very similar position, except for their team is much more talented. Michael Thomas, top 3 wide receiver. Nobody ever talks about it. He could be number 1. I don't know what they're doing with Alvin Kamara right now. I think he's
banged up.
He's got to be, because Latavius Murray is trash.
100%.
is, but he's like, I don't know if you watched the game. I'm sure you did, but like they were giving Latavius the ball more than Alvin Kamara.
Just tells me Kamara's hurt.
Yeah, so I'm going to be paying attention to that. But at the end of the day, like the Saints are just not putting as much points up. They're not as strong of a team against bad teams.
So they're number 8 in defensive DVOA. I believe they're number 3 in offensive DVOA right now. It's one of the best, just both sides of the coin situation there. Like they are, I love everything about this team. I'm not concerned. And I think getting home field throughout, like they're going to break through at some point.
If they get home field throughout the playoffs, I mean, it's the fucking Superdome. Like, they can beat anybody.
I'm not betting against them in the Superdome. I understand what happened. That was, they were literally just a ridiculous call away from, going to the Super Bowl last year. And I think they would have won the Super Bowl last year if they had gone.
Oh, they would have 100%. They were a significantly better team than the Rams.
I'm glad we're on the same page there. And I hope that's not just because you're a 49ers fan, but that was like one of my strongest takes, I think, was that.
No, I was a huge Jared Goff guy coming out of college. And then when I saw him, you know, putting up those monster numbers, I'm like, these receivers are consistently open. Todd Gurley's the best running back in the NFL, which, you know, rest in peace. Just straight up, like, you know, it was, what an amazing run he had. I don't know if I've seen a more dynamic running back, and now he's just, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was Todd Gurley the whole time. So yeah, I agree. I think the Saints have a really damn good team. But dude, and this is any decade of football at any given moment, the best defense in the NFL, and I think the 49ers have a better defense than the Patriots. I don't care what the DVOA says. I mean it's
close.
Going, it really
back
is
and
close
forth every week, depending on who they play.
But also, I think the Patriots are getting worse. Like they're not. I think the Patriots defense the first 8 games is much different than the Patriots defense the last 8 games. I think they're getting tired. I don't. I don't know.
Competent offense is taking a toll. I think too.
They got their ass kicked by the Texans.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about the Patriots.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I just see the 49ers defense is better. And
which is fine, yeah. And they got a better offense. Like, I think the 49ers right now are a better team than the Pats.
Yeah, and I just don't know. My point is this. I'm getting to a point where, and maybe it's arrogance or whatever, but, like, especially after looking at the Ravens at home in that weather where it's going to benefit a running quarterback with a very good running back, and they barely won. And, you know, one better play call by Kyle Shanahan, that game's over. So I think the 49ers can beat anyone anywhere. It's just a matter of time.
That'd be brutal to lose back-to-back NFC championship games at home to NFC West foes.
I mean, the Saints, man, they have to, I would be terrified if I'm a Saints fan playing the 49ers.
I mean, I would too. Like, that's the worst possible. That's the worst team that could come into the Superdome in the championship game, I think.
Because I know you know that conference well, and you know those fans well. I can tell you my favorite moment of all time was as a current 49ers fan that didn't get to watch Jerry Rice and Joe Montana. Alex Smith doing that, you know, that wheel route, the run, and then the touchdown to the Vernon Post. My favorite moment as a 49er, and I can imagine on the other side of that coin, Saints fans probably, oh my God, they don't want to see that again.
100%. I just think they don't want to see another NFC championship game loss at home. Like, that's just, that'd be fucking brutal. But anyway, you mentioned Goff, and Goff is on my list that I want to talk about because there was some Tomlin and some Browns and Raiders stuff that I want to get to, but I want to get to the Rams stuff while we're on the subject because I think people have overreacted. You're not going to believe this, but I think people in sports media have overreacted a little bit.
And no, they would never do that.
They would never do that, but they did when it came to the Rams, where there is just so much shit talking about Sean McVay right now. And just the state of the Rams and like trading too much for Jalen Ramsey and blah, blah, blah. They're number 11 in defense. The defense is really good. And they had a great showing yesterday. Like, their season's effectively over. Just the NFC is just too hard. They have too many losses. They can't get through. This is not a bad football team. The Rams have just had bad luck. So I want to read something to you from week 8. This was after week 8.
Get it all out because I'm going to be aggressively saying the opposite. So
okay, awesome.
All that you need to say.
I'm a huge McVay and Rams believer as well. So anyway, so this is from PFF. After owning, and this is right at the midway point this season, after owning one of the better offensive lines in football in 2018, the Rams have regressed significantly through the first 8 weeks of the season. Formerly dominant offensive tackles Andrew Whitworth and Rob Havenstein each own overall grades under 70 entering week 9, and the team's interior offensive linemen have truly underwhelmed. They let Roger Stafford go and everything else. Their offensive line has been trash. Only two centers have allowed pressure at a higher rate than Brian Allen so far this season. Jared Goff did not have time. Jared Goff was running for his life. It's impossible to get a good ground game going when you have a bad offensive line and a running back who doesn't have any knees anymore. And then you're not really using Darrell Henderson, who I like a lot, coming out in the third round, in the passing game and the running game. They weren't able to do a lot of what they wanted to do. Cooper Kupp obviously got injured again. They've dealt with injuries to Brandon Cooks, but when you trade for Brandon Cooks, I understand that like that's part of the deal, is that the dude gets hurt a lot, so he's not going to be available all the time. I think they just are a team that had a bad offensive line. They banked on Andrew Whitworth keeping up with the Fountain of Youth shit. And
yeah, that was bad luck.
It didn't work out. Eventually, it's going to run out for these guys, and they bet on him being able to do it for one more year, and he has not been able to do it. So Jared Goff suffered. Every quarterback in football is better with a good offensive line than without one, outside of Carson Wentz this year for whatever reason, but that's probably a conversation for another day. I'm not worried. Yesterday was Jared Goff's second game with 120 passer rating and 400 yards this season, or in his career, excuse me. The only other players to ever do that twice in their first four NFL seasons are Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, and Ken O'Brien. Ken O'Brien, legend. Love the Chase Thomas podcast. Big Ken O'Brien, guys. I'm not worried. He was 6 for 6 on passes, traveling at least 15 yards downfield because people were like, oh, Jared Goff's a game manager, blah, blah, blah. He can go downfield. He's had a bunch of pretty throws. Like, let's lay off Jared Goff on that. 11 for 11, 182 yards and a touchdown on third down. He was perfect on third down yesterday. Most such completions without an incompletion by any NFL quarterback since 2016. The Rams are fine. They just have a bad offensive line. That's it. They'll get better. The Rams,
they're fine in the sense that you're talking about, but in a sense of bigger picture, the Rams are fucked. So I'll make it easy for you. First off, trading two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey when you literally need to replace, like you said, your tackles, your running backs.
They just need to replace Andrew Whitworth in their tackles.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Darrell Henderson. And what was the other guy's name? Malcolm Brown?
Yeah, Malcolm Brown.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish they'd stop giving Gurley the ball so much because he's clearly his knee's shot. Like, it sucks. But I think the problem here is when you look at is Jared Goff bad? No, he can have great games. I think this last game against the Cardinals was as a Rams fan, you're so excited to see that because you're like, okay, it's not that bad. But the reality is the Seahawks and the 49ers are really good. And the Cardinals, I don't know if you've watched them play the Niners this year, but the Cardinals are damn good and they're a couple pieces away.
Oh, yes,
away.
They are. Yeah. I get fights with my roommates about the Cardinals all the time.
The Cardinals are going to be damn good. Kyler Murray's like...
Are they the sixth best team in the AFC right now?
Yeah, exactly. You put them in the AFC, put them in the NFC East, they're winning the division.
Yes.
But my point is you look at long-term stuff. The two contracts, the three, Brandon Cooks, Jared Goff, and then obviously Todd Gurley, they're fucked there. When you look at their draft picks, they're fucked there. When you look at the fact that Jared Goff, unless things are exactly how they need to be, and you can argue that in the Super Bowl run, those were perfect scenarios, right? Those are your Alex Smith 2011 49ers, the perfect scenario. You look at Mitch Trubisky last year, the perfect scenario. There's quarterbacks that need things to be great, and if they're not, they regress. And when you have a team that's got no picks, no money, it's just like, are they going to be a four-win team? No. But are they going to miss the playoffs the next 3 years because they're the fourth or third best team in the NFC West? Yes. So if you have all these ridiculous contracts and no draft picks, what's the point? You're not making the playoffs. You're not going to make a wild – there's no way they make the playoffs or wild card in the NFC West for the next 3 years. There's just I would not bet a dollar on that. So what do they have to look forward to?
I think if they can go ahead and get Damar Dotson in there at left tackle from Tampa Bay, there everything's solved. Get some Kelvin Beachum action from New York this offseason.
They got to go there, though.
Mike Remmers.
What team is going to – what player wants to go play against the 49ers and the Seahawks?
Bring back Greg Robinson, former – wasn't he drafted originally by –
He was. He was in the first round, and now he's what I don't know what he's doing. He's getting benched in the with the Browns.
The Browns, yeah, mid game getting benched. No, they can get the gang back together. It'll be fine. I just think I understand. Like every team wants to redo the offensive line, and everything would be great. Like just ask Philip Rivers how that's worked out for the last 15 years in Los Angeles / San Diego. I'm not out on the Browns. I mean the Rams. They're gonna be fine. I don't believe. I think. Forecasting 3 years out on the Rams is too much. They also, the one thing that just sucks for them right now is they play in the toughest division in football.
That's what I'm saying. That's
right,
my point.
Like that sucks. Like
my
that
point just, isn't that Jared Goff is doomed or, you know, whatever. Like Sean McVay is still one of the better coaches in the NFL, but they're in a meat grinder of a division and things are not, I mean, you know, the 49ers have their first round pick next year. The Seattle has all their picks. The Cardinals, we'll see. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think they're in a real
up outside of the blowout by the Rams, who just curb stomped them.
By the way, are you watching the Seattle Vikings game?
Would you judge me if I had the Hawks game against the Warriors on mute right now to the left of me?
Well, it's fine. It's just a pick six. Vikings are up now 14-7.
That was my I had the Vikings win. Like I think the Vikings are a better football team than the Seahawks. But
I can't believe that Kirk Cousins is doing so well this year.
Well, he's doing well in spurts. He's on a hot streak right now. Right.
Like, but she does.
And yeah, so you're just like if you're a Vikings fan, you're just sweating, you're like, can you do this for 5 more weeks? Like he's one of the streakiest quarterbacks in recent.
Let me tell you, I just need him to do it tonight. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. If he does it tonight, you're good.
Oh, man.
This is good. Like, if you're a 49ers fan, you're just, like, sitting on the edge of your seat. You're just, like, weirdly cheering for the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. It's a weird spot. But then again, you're like, well, the Kyle Shanahan connection, he got him paid. He did work there in Washington. So that is something to root for, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. But, yeah, the Hawks and Warriors is just atrocious. And Cam Reddish is the worst professional basketball player on the planet.
That's a whole other thing, though.
No, it is a Hawks. And you don't want me getting started on the Hawks right now. I think we have to talk about the Steelers seizing an opportunity with Duck Hodges, who had another good game yesterday. And you think about, like, what if they just hadn't played Mason Rudolph these weeks with and just had Duck Hodges? It reminds me a little bit of Nick Mullins last year. Just a little,
right.
Just a tad.
DJ Bethard.
Yeah, Bethard. I've never been like a Bethard guy, so I'm not going to go there. I was always more of a Nick Mullins. Bethard's more Mason Rudolph to me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
oh,
Bethard
okay.
Was the Mason Rudolph,
like,
and then Nick Mullins Duck.
Yeah. The Raiders just getting blown out by the Chiefs on the road. Just an all around awful performance. I thought this quote from because like the Raiders. I don't know if people looked at the schedule and like, do you play with ESPN's playoff machine at all?
No, I don't.
Okay, I do it every day because I'm a psycho. And the Raiders just had this clear, easy-ass path. This was before, like after the Chiefs game, and also this is I did this a week ago before the Jets game. Or who did they play last? Or wasn't the Jets last week they got blown out by? Am I crazy? Who did they get blown out by last week? Was it the Jets? Why am I blanking? They had a bad loss last week to someone they shouldn't have lost to.
Didn't the Jets? No, because the Jets went off last week.
They scored a touchdown in like 2 weeks.
The Jets went off. That was like. Well, I know specifically because Sam Darnold had a great week, and then I picked him up for fantasy, and then he did not have a great week.
Yeah, it was the Jets.
Was it?
Yeah, the Jets. The Jets beat the Raiders 34-3.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so that was my thing with the Raiders, where I'm watching the Raiders schedule, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are quietly having a great season, and then they go 3-34, 6-22, back to back.
Just an all-around shit-the-bed moment. Everything was laid out for them. Now, granted, people are overreacting to this and their season a little bit. Tim Kawakami had a scorch-the-earth piece on The Athletic this morning about the Raiders and their farewell.
Tim Kawakami would never have anything other than a calm, measured, kind piece on anything.
He was brutal.
That man has had me blocked since the Dark Ages.
Really?
Yeah. He actually is a very, 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 very small minority owner at a bar in LA. And I went there and bought a round of shots from my buddies because we were on a bar crawl. And I sent I recorded the video. I was like, look at all the money I'm spending in your bar. Unblock me. No dice.
Damn.
But he's a great guy. He just was he was just very sensitive during the Harbaugh years.
Interesting. The more you know. Tyrann Mathieu had this quote after the Chiefs Raiders game.
So
did you
good.
See this?
It was so good. So disrespectful.
Like, did David Carr see this? No one showed David Carr.
Well, I mean, Derek Carr maybe, but David Carr might be.
No, I'm saying, like, don't show his brother, because his brother goes hard on Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
He searches out Carr slander.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's such a good thing that there wasn't Twitter when he, like, got into the league.
Yes. Thin skin guy. But also, like, I kind of admire just the way he goes to bat for his brother. I'm all about it. Like, that's what he should do. It's his brother. They look identical and are, like, 20 years apart. Really weird.
I would go hard for my brother, but in context. I wouldn't make myself look like an idiot, right? Like, you know, if there were, like, popular tweets, like, clowning on him, I might jump in there. But, like, just searching them out is awkward.
Well, he also went after my guy, Arif Hassan, at The Athletic.
Oh, man, I love Arif. Yeah,
Friend of the pod. He was on last week, actually. That's who you're following up to this week. But Tyrann Mathieu had this quote for the listeners who do not know. The biggest thing is we knew that when Carr did take shots downfield, we understood it pre-snap by the formation, and it put us in position to make a play. Tight ends, running backs, checkdowns, that's his game. We were able to capitalize when he did try to throw it downfield. That is just demoralizing. If you're John Gruden, do you just like have a brain aneurysm?
Let me, for the listeners, because Chase is a professional and he's mature and just good at his job, let me translate for what Tyrann really said. He said, we knew what these motherfuckers were doing the entire fucking time they were doing it. There wasn't a single thing they did that we did not know what they were doing before they did it. We had them on lockdown the whole game.
Basically. This is not a good defense. This is not like the Pats and the 49ers being
It's the
like,
Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs. That's the most upsetting part if you're a Raiders fan. You're like, this is a shit defense that knew what to do. And like the Raiders made the Chiefs defense look like the 49ers defense yesterday.
It was beautiful. It was, and I don't think that people are paying attention enough. I'm not seeing that talked about enough. The Chiefs have a bad defense. They are known for getting dunked on points-wise and just having a god-tier Mahomes that will put more points up. That's just the reality. And they literally looked like the 1985 Bears against a Raiders team that has been doing well.
My favorite gif of the week was Josh Jacobs jumping up and down. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Derek Carr got sacked. More at 11. Derek Carr held the ball too long. got sacked. But before he got sacked, he had Josh Jacobs open on a check down to the left. Like he pretended he was going to block and he spun out to the left. Josh Jacobs wide open had an easy first down. Derek, like he's jumping, doing like jumping jacks, trying to get Derek Carr to see him, that he's right there. And Derek Carr's just looking all over the place for Tyrell Williams, maybe 15 yards downfield, who's just never open. Misses him and just, he loses his mind. I'll send it to you after this, but it is, it's fucking wild. And Derek Carr was getting like 2 weeks ago after the Bengals game where they won, like he was getting that, are we sure Derek Carr's not a top five quarterback this season? That was a take I saw on Speak for Yourself a couple weeks ago. Derek Carr should be in the MVP conversation. And I just...
But you got to know, that's what they're supposed to do. I mean, those are the things they're supposed to say.
But now it's they're like, is Derek Carr going to make it to Vegas? Like, we just go... The pendulum just always goes back and forth for only certain type of quarterbacks, right?
And
like,
that's their
Brady
job.
Brady doesn't... I mean, Brady's old now, so he gets that. But, like, most quarterbacks... Like, have to go through this because most quarterbacks are hot and cold like this. Most are not Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and guys like, there's only a handful.
I'm glad you didn't say Aaron Rodgers because we put that ass whooping on Aaron Rodgers the other week.
Yeah. Like, it's just, there are not many quarterbacks who you can count on week in, week out to be awesome. That's just how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Derek Carr is just one of those guys. He's a Kirk Cousins. Like, he just, he'll be hot for a couple weeks and then he won't. He also needs a lot of stuff in his favor. He needs talent. And also, the Raiders don't have talent on offense and on defense.
I mean, when your best receiver is Tyrell Williams, that's what's going to happen. I think the reality of it is just during their Super Bowl run before they broke, you know, he broke his leg. Derek Carr is similar to Jared Goff. He needs a team where things are going well on all facets of the game, special teams, defense, offense. And it was happening that year. It's not happening now, but they do have a much better team. I do think Gruden is like, Gruden is such a good case study on what it's like being someone notable in the year 2019, where he's good. He's a good coach. And I think it's showing now that he's not great, but he's a good coach. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL at any given point. He really does know his stuff. But he's a goofy, weird dude, and he's going to get memed into oblivion. And that's more important nowadays than whether or not he's a good coach. What the Raiders have done this year, especially after the Antonio Brown fiasco, is something that should be praised. Are they going to, you know, be a playoff team? No. Do they look decent and hang into some games? Yes. But what he's doing is okay. Now, 6-5 is a Raiders team right now. If anyone would have told you that, no one would have really believed it. It's just, Derek Carr's goofy. John Gruden is goofy, and they're going to get memed into oblivion.
And you know what's so sad is that, like, I think objectively, like, we just, because sports media and just everything happens so quickly that we just forget about what we thought even 2 weeks ago about a team or an organization or a quarterback or whatever. We all unanimously were just like, the Raiders are going to fucking suck this year.
And oh, yeah.
This is like a huge win. The fact that they're playing 500 football, and granted, the AFC West has been a dumpster fire this year. I think, just if you were to ask most Raider fans before the season, like, what would be your hope this year? I think flirting with the playoffs in December is like best case scenario. Like, yeah, best case scenario for them.
And it's like the 49ers fans. Now, granted, not me, because I'm an eternal optimist, and I think I actually just paid more attention. But beginning of the season, plenty of people were saying, hey, 8-8, 9 wins, that's going to be a great season, blah, 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 blah. And that was measured because they watched so many bad seasons for the last couple of years. So you're like, listen, I'm not going to get my hopes too high. And I think a lot of Raiders fans did the same thing. If you would have said Raiders, hey, you know, 8 wins, that's a good year, especially after last year, especially with Antonio Brown, yada, yada, yada. That's not bad. But, I mean, they're 6-5 right now. They're above 500. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, I think, like, just if you throw out everything else and you just look at it, just what their final record should be, 9-7, if you were to, like, I just think that's a huge win. Going into Vegas, like, I think they just need to get more talent. They made some questionable picks, like the Cleveland Farrell pick is just not looking great. But also, Abrams looked really good before he got hurt. Mullen, I like
Hurst,
him, corner.
Hurst looks good.
Yeah, if he stays healthy.
I think they've had a great draft this year.
Josh Jacobs is great. Their Josh offensive Jacobs is line great. With Tom Cable. They got a great offensive line with Tom Cable. That's a huge. That might be the biggest win so far, is that the Tom Cable just has a good offensive line again.
I think Cleveland.
Like a decade.
Cleveland can do better. I don't think he's necessarily. I mean, he started out the season doing okay. He's not looking great, but, like, I think if you get someone, I mean, who's on the other side? They're Arden Key, right?
Yeah.
LSU. I don't know if I want him as the starter. Maybe give him someone better. Maybe don't make Cleveland Farrell, even though he was your number 3 overall pick.
That's
or
the
whatever.
Problem. He's number 3 overall, and there are better people on the board.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at Brian Burns right now. Can you imagine if they would have drafted Brian Burns?
I mean, just Josh Allen, Brian Burns. There's all
Josh Allen too. Yeah, and by the way, I love Josh Allen so much. Anyone that I thought it was so funny, I just kept screaming over and over, like, 16 sacks in the SEC. You think this guy's going to be bad? And there's so many people that said Josh Allen is not that good, blah, blah, blah. Watch the tape. And now look at him. He's a monster.
Yeah.
But we don't need to get into draft Twitter.
Save that to Trevor Sycamore on the Draft Network, LC. Right. All my friends over there. They're just, yeah, I got to stay away from that. The Browns and Steelers, I want to touch on this quickly, though. I think we have to give Tomlin Coach of the Year. I think they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be doing it with Duck Hodges, who, as we talk, is still scrubbing his tweets from a lot of pro-Trump stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Anytime you get in the NFL, scrub your tweets. Delete your account. Make a new one.
Exactly. I feel like the Bill Burr quote, it's still one of my favorites, where he's just like, what the fuck did you think they thought? Like, that is all of my takes. Like, what did you think Devlin Duck Hodges thought about anything? Like, what are you talking about? Just, this is why it's better off not knowing about any athletes ever. That's why I'm very opposed to learning more about athletes in general. I'm just like,
hey. Are you kidding me? I have Nick Bosa on my team.
Exactly. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I don't want to know.
I'm the most bleeding heart liberal douche you'll ever meet in your entire life. And I've got King MAGA swinging the flag on the 49ers. I'm aware. But at the end of the day, I mean, once again, they're young, impressionable kids, Bosa.
And you're like, give me more Bosas. Is there any more coming up?
I really, though, like, I don't care about their politics. They're not paid to, be in politics. They're paid to play football. And Nick Bosa gets them sacks. So,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't know. Here's my only thing. I'm not giving Mike Tomlin the coach of the year.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not. And here's my thing.
Third string quarterback, third string running back.
Coach of the year should not be how well can you manage a nightmare scenario. I don't want my coach of the year to be good at shitty circumstances. I want my coach of the year to be winning. I want my coach of the year to be, honestly, sorry, I'm biased, but I want my coach of the year to be Kyle Shanahan with the number 2 overall pick and being 10-2 right now. One of the best teams in the NFL. Once again, you talked about it, losing both games by 3 points. I want my coach of the year to be, I'm blanking, the Bills coach.
Oh, no, not Sean McDermott?
Sean McDermott. Taking a team that should not be doing this well, and bless their heart, they're giving Frank Gore such a great retirement.
It's all the schedule. Like, it's 100% just
their schedule. My point is, though, is they're winning. And, Mike Tomlin, he's had to deal with Antonio Brown. He's had to deal with, Le'Veon Bell. And now he's had to deal with Ben Roethlisberger getting injured and all that. But, at the end of the day, some of those problems, the Le'Veon Bell, the Antonio Brown, those problems were his own. He could have handled that in better situations. And, yeah, they're doing better, but they're playing I don't know. I need my coach of the year to win football games, not be potentially maybe squeaking into the playoffs with a third string quarterback.
Disagree. Clearly you hate Mike Tomlin, which
I don't. I don't hate Mike Tomlin. I really think what Mike Tomlin has done is amazing. I think
CJ Watt about to set the Steelers record for most sacks in a season that was held by James Harrison. He's at 12.
I'll never
Fitzpatrick. Legendary trade. He's been great for them. Defense top 10
that
in football.
That trade's not him.
He signed off.
The coach signed off on one of the best defensive backs in the NFL. Yeah. I'll give a thumbs up on that one. Great job, Mike.
Perfect.
Once again, he's doing a good job. But
he's doing the best job, I think, in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
How many coaches could do what he did with the Steelers this year? How many coaches can manage what he has managed and still pulled off a
playoff
team?
They don't have a bad team, though. They have Minka Fitzpatrick. They have James Conner.
Their receivers have been decimated. Their quarterback room has been decimated. Their running back room has been decimated. There were all kinds. He even lost Shazier a couple years ago. Like, there's just that dude. He reloads.
Once
Mike
again,
Tomlin, throw adversity his way, and he's going to find a way through.
If you want to say Mr. Adversity of the Year, if you want to say Mr. Adversity of the Year, yeah, he can have that award. If you want to say Worst Luck, I'll give him that award. But,
God, you really hate the Steelers.
I don't. My dad's a Steelers fan. But at the end of the day, like, I want coach of the year, you need to be one of the best teams in the NFL. You have to be one of the best teams in the NFL. It can't be you're doing really good considering how fucked your situation is.
How I judge it. So this is why I don't have a vote, folks.
Well, probably this is why I don't have a vote either. They're like, no, it's coach of the year. He's coaching. But like, he's had some really shitty luck though. No one has dealt with more drama than that guy. That's what I can say.
And he survived. He walked through. Tomlin for life. Soured stars or star. Who stood out to you this week? I branded it for you. I branded your own segment.
My own segment. Mm-hmm. Who stood out to me this week? That's a really good question. Honestly, and it pains.
You say a 49er. I'm cutting.
You know, I'm not going to. They lost. I'm going to say Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
I'm going to say Lamar Jackson, and I hate that I'm saying Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson is one of these guys where I love him so much, and I hate that he's a Raven after they won the Super Bowl against the 49ers, and I hate that he beat us, but like the guy goes in, plays the best defense in the NFL. They completely shut down the pass, which he's been a great passer all year, and he goes, too bad. I'm still going to me, not my team, not my receivers, not my running backs. Physically me, I'm going to beat you no matter what. The rain, you're taking my receivers away. Like the running game's not working. I don't care. I'm working. I watched it with my own eyes. He's unstoppable. It's inevitable. He's Thanos. And, you know, hopefully the 49ers are going to be the in-game scenario in the Super Bowl, but you just can't stop him. I think any guy that can go in the season where Patrick Mahomes was immediately unbelievable before his injury and whatnot, and take that shine away and just run with it aggressively, like what Lamar Jackson's doing right now is just unbelievable. He'll beat you. It doesn't matter how. He'll pick a card. He will beat you.
My player of the week was Jared Goff.
Goff. Yeah.
Everything, like so much shit talking towards him, the Rams, his team, they could have easily folded. I think people are underestimating how easy it could have been for them to turn and just really fold and fall apart down the stretch this season. Like, I think there was all kinds of reasons for this team to just fall apart and give up a bad loss on the road in Arizona. Against a good Arizona team, and they did not, and they fucking curb stomped them, and I think they deserve a lot of credit, and Goff was great downfield, intermediate, everything. Jared Goff, I will ride for Jared Goff till the end.
It was nice to see him back, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was nice to see Jared Goff back. That's what I would say. It's also going to be nice to see Gardner Minshew back.
I love that story. I love everything about it.
They cost themselves a wild card spot, by the way, folks. Like, if they had just played Gardner Minshew through the last 3 weeks, which Nick Foles was just atrocious, I'm still convinced they would have been a wild card team.
I don't think people talk about it enough, but can we, like, really discuss? I mean, it's insane to me that they paid Nick Foles that money. It's insane. And I know they needed a quarterback, but, like, dude, insane to me that they did that. It should have never happened.
I'm okay with it just because they're that desperate, and you still just never know. And it's not like they could have ever known that the 6th-round pick Gardner Minshew was going to be really good for them. Those are always flyers, and there's for every Gardner Minshew, there's like a billion Davis Webbs. So it's just like it's hard to forecast stuff like that. And when you're a team like the Jaguars, who spent a lot of money on your defense, you're expensive, and this was when they still had Jalen Ramsey and a lot of high-priced guys. It's just Leonard Fournette. The clock is ticking. Like. I get it. Foles wasn't the right one, but I get why they got antsy. It's just the NFL is a terrible place to be if you don't have a quarterback, and you get super antsy, and you get like, especially if the Blake Bortles stuff going the way it did. Like, I understand why they overreacted and they paid Nick Foles. I understand that. But at the same time, there's like, I mean, Matt Flynn, like the Seahawks did this with Russell Wilson. Obviously, not the same thing. I'm not saying Gardner Minshew is going to be as good as Russell Wilson, but teams do this. Like, smart teams have done this. Like, I'm not going to rip the Jaguars for this. And Nick Foles also showed more than Matt Flynn ever showed for the Seahawks.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that.
He won a Super Bowl. I don't recall Matt Flynn going a Super Bowl winning run.
If Gardner Minshew didn't exist, Minshew mania and all this, like the Jaguars would be having a much more depressing season.
Yes.
And like a much more depressing, like they are so lucky that he is entertaining, unique, interesting, and plays some fun football. Because if they had a CJ Beathard as the backup and they, you know, losing or winning two games total after losing Foles or something like that, that team would be eaten alive. $100+ million to Nick Foles, and he comes back and he's playing awful, and you're losing games, and you don't have, like, they should just pray every day to the football gods that they got Gardner Minshew. Because even if he doesn't win games, he's still fun to watch.
100%. And I just want to see more and more from him. So, and he's just so good in the fourth quarter. So I'm about it. I'm glad that it's happening. Yeah. So shout out to the Jaguars for finally making it. I love this quote, though. Can I read you this quote about the Jaguars?
Yeah, of course.
It's one word. After Nick Foles and the Jacksonville Jaguars were 4-6 and lost 33-13 to the Colts, who were 6-4 at the time at Lucas Oil Stadium, Doug Marone was asked if the Jaguars were sticking with Nick Foles for the rest of the way. And his answer was quite simply, yes. And now, today, when asked if Gardner Minshew is going to be the starter the rest of the season, their answer was yes. Man of their word, folks.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, I've always thought it was ridiculous that they even answer those questions as a coach.
Yeah, why is Bob, the rest of the way? You have no idea what this is going to be like.
Is Gardner Minshew going to be the starter for the rest of the season? I'm a football coach, and I have to make decisions week to week. I hope he plays well enough to where I don't have to change my mind. But if something goes wrong or if he's not playing well, I'm going to have to make a decision. I don't know what that is because we're not there yet. That's just as an interesting of a quote if I'm a member of the media to me than him just saying yes because that's what he thinks he has to say. Like, I don't understand why they have to say that. But at the same time, like, clearly there's something going on in that organization where they thought Nick Foles was going to be the guy. I don't know why. What happened in Philly will never happen again. That was for Philadelphia. That was for the city of Philadelphia. That was for the fans of the Eagles. That was for their one championship that they'll probably ever win. That was for them. It's not going to happen in the Jacksonville. Nick Foles will never do that again. Nick Foles is just a taller Matt Flynn.
Damn. Shots fired. Hates Mike Tomlin, hates Nick Foles. Learning a lot from Edmund tonight. Last thing, and we'll wrap up here. I hate game previews, like week by week, and like the pick 'em stuff. Like, that just doesn't do anything for me. I like looking at just the full slate and just thinking about different teams and about like where they're at and like why I'm interested. Like, why am I going to spend time with these games? What do you have in week 14? What games in the docket are you interested in, and why?
I mean, okay. There's a lot going on in the NFL in week 14. Mm-hmm. So naturally, to me, 49ers Saints, 49ers in general, three weeks in a row, the biggest game on television. But to me, that's going to be the biggest game. I think there's so much going on. There's so much at stake. That's going to be number one. On the other side of the spectrum, maybe if you're more of an East Coast guy, once again, Lamar Jackson playing a very good Bills defense. You yourself said it, right? They haven't played anyone. They're finally playing someone.
Yeah, they're going to get their ass kicked, folks. Go ahead and write this one down. The Bills are getting fucked.
I'm not going to bet on the Bills. I would never bet on the Bills. I would never bet on Josh Allen. I love you, Frank Gore, always in my heart. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be at least a good game to watch in terms of like paying attention. Other than that, you're getting a lot of shitty games. You know, Bengals, Browns, Redskins, Packers, Lions, Vikings, Dolphins, Jets. I mean, these are no implications. A bad team versus a good team. Broncos, Texans. That might be interesting.
Broncos, Texans.
Because Drew Lock.
Drew Lock on the road and how Texans respond after a good win. Because I want to see another week of Drew Lock. I'm fascinated by it. Because I was not a big Drew Lock guy coming out. And I don't know. He needs to change his hair. Like, whatever that little push-up he's got going on up front is terrible.
I have no idea. Yeah, it's like me in sixth grade. But I think there's a lot of bad games, but there's like four perennial games, right? So
Chiefs at Pats. We have
exactly. Games. Chiefs at Pats. Seahawks, Rams, you know, especially after seeing what Jared Goff did last week. I have hope that this could be a good game. So we'll see. But, you know, Patriots, Chiefs, Seahawks, Rams are the huge implications. Broncos, Texans will be fun. Jaguars and Chargers will be like watching a car fire. Seeing who gets lit on fire the most. Other than that, you know, it's just Ravens, Bills, 49ers, Saints, and the two we talked about. Those are going to be fun to watch.
I am very much in on the Titans Raiders, I should also say. As a psycho, I'm just so extremely interested in how the Raiders continue to just figure out whether or not they want to be in the playoffs or not. And then the Titans, who are just notorious for playing down to these kind of games. And just what Tannehill has been since he's gotten the reins. Like, I'm very interested to see what happens.
By the way, as a huge Oregon Duck fan, my college, shout out to them. It's so sad to watch Mary. I was like, oh, well, you know, obviously Tannehill's going to come in. He'll play bad too, and then we'll just feel bad for Mariota. Like, no, Tannehill has come in and won some games. And I'm so sad.
He might get like a top 10 NFL. Like, nah, he's a free agent.
Just franchise tag him. Whatever.
He's going to be expensive. Can you franchise tag
someone like that? A free agent signing? I don't know.
I don't think you can. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure
that's a good question. That's honestly a good thing to look up, but I don't think that I pay him. I really don't.
Well, the Bears will, if you won't.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing though. He's this year's Nick Foles. Hey, look what he did coming in interim. I haven't seen enough. I've got more game tape of him on the Dolphins than I do on the Titans. Do you want to pay him? Now, if it's a 1 year, 2 year contract, prove it kind of deal, sure. But I'm not going to give him a Foles contract. I'm not paying him 90 mil, 5 year, whatever. Like, it's not worth it. Let the Bears do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the Titans are ready to win now. And, like, this is a really good thing with the Titans. And it's just like, hey, you finally have a quarterback. Maybe. Is this the real Tannehill?
If you're the Titans, do you potentially, I mean, it depends on where he goes, but do you sign Tannehill and try and draft Tua?
They don't have a chance at Tua. Tua's gone, like, way before they're picking.
You think so?
Oh, Tua's still going top three.
No, really?
Tua could have, like, one leg, and he's still going top three.
Well,
quarterbacks are just too important in today's NFL.
If he does... I'm curious to see where Herbert goes. I don't know if
here's
they want
my fear with Herbert. I think he's falling to like the Pats at the end of the first.
That would make sense. And by God, if they do, we might be in a year for the only thing that I hope is that he just gives the team to his son, Steve, Mr. Man Mullet. And we just, that's a scary thought for another time.
Yeah. Steve Belichick. Not a great look, folks. But there you go. All right, Evan, do you have anything you would like to plug before we get out of here?
By all means, even if you're not a 49ers fan, I think the guys, all of our writers over at 49ers Hub put out great content constantly. If your team is playing the Hub or playing the 49ers, likely they've got some good team content for that in general. Other than that, you can always find me on Twitter. It's Evan Swords, Sowards. I'm a terrible follow, but people keep following me and I'm not sure why. Other than that, I got nothing. Listen to the Chase Thomas podcast.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You're really angling for another spot on this podcast.
I'm always glad to come on. It's always fun to talk.
I will say some very interesting big time guests are coming up. So keep your ears peeled for that. Evan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we will talk soon.
All right, bud. Take care.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.